Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasts.
Did you know that people with disabilities are nearly victims of 1 million non-fatal violent crimes every year? That includes rape, sexual assault, aggravated assault, and robbery. Credit goes to disabilityjustice.org. Welcome back. This is True Crime Connections, and I'm your host, Tiffany. Today, we're covering a very important topic, and that's about people with disabilities being abused. It's not talked about enough, and people with disabilities also go through sexual violence, physical violence, emotional violence, but not many of them can actually stand up for themselves or do anything about it. My guest with me today is Wynn Charles, and she has cerebral palsy. She wants to share her story of being abused while having a disability. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Wynn. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. For those of you that haven't stuck around my story long enough to know, my name is Wynn Charles. I have cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is a lack of oxygen injury to the brain at birth. I have ataxia spastic cerebral palsy. It's full diagnosis name. Yeah. The cerebral palsy that I have is the more common one. I have moderate cerebral palsy, and yeah. So the reason why I am here today, the reason why Deanna brought me on the podcast is to share my story of, unfortunately, I am one of 85% of disabled who got abused. My story is very unique. I got abused by a family member. My mom's sister, who happens to be my godmother. This was right after my 33rd birthday. After they celebrated my 33rd birthday with me. And let's add that mom had passed away in 2010 from 3 brain aneurysms. And now, my mom, wouldn't hurt a fly. Her sister was so nicey-nicey to me as I was growing up. But I realized at the age of 15 that her sister was doing cocaine, marijuana, and drinking. And when she got too tipsy, her sister got too tipsy, that wasn't a pretty sight. She just became mean. And so basically what happened is mom dies. I have to tell my mom's family that she died. We were all in a hotel room. Baby sister, who abused me, locks herself in a bathroom and doesn't come out until the afternoon. Sits on the toilet, bursts into tears. I don't know what she did in that bathroom, but we didn't see her until the afternoon. And so my dad was still alive at this point. My dad basically said to my aunt, who then abused me, go away. Just go away. You're a bad influence on Wynn. He basically said, And to quote his exact words, on August 11th, because my mom died, she didn't die, she didn't pass away until August 12th, but we all left her to die. She was essentially dying medically into his coma. So his exact words to my abuser, "Well, Marianne, go away. I don't want anything to do with you, nor do I want Wynn to do any, to have anything to do with you." So, and you gotta remember that Marianne, my abuser, started emotionally abusing me as my mom was in the hospital in a medical aged coma. And so, because I have cerebral palsy, somehow Marianne ended up helping me and left me crying in a bathtub, not because my mom was dying, but to quote her exact words, she called me lazy for having cerebral palsy and white trash. Well, fast forward, I tell my dad that, and my dad goes, "I want nothing to do with her." He tells her, now, first he tells her to go away. On August 11th, 2010, he tells her to go away. "I want nothing to do with you, nor do I want my daughter to have anything to do with you. You're mean, you're an alcoholic, you drink too much." And so then when I told my dad what she had said to me, he just about lost it, because he goes, "Number one, you're not lazy. Number two, why would someone call you white trash if you're just sitting in a bathtub asking for help because of your CP?" So then we land up going to church. We land up saying goodbye to my mom. 9 years passes. My dad gets sick with, at the time we didn't know, but his "I love yous" get weaker, and he gets sick with what landed up to be stage 4 lung cancer. He died after 6 days of the diagnosis. My then stepmom, who lived with me right after my mom died, comes in, helps me more, and then my family comes out. And now my family came out because my dad had passed away. And they wanted to talk to my stepmom, and they wanted to make sure that I was safe. Now then, the aide who was with me at the time didn't hurt a fly, didn't hurt me. Her job had significantly changed because of my dad's death. My stepmom had a full-time job. So at the day my abuser abused me, we were interviewing a temporary aide because my aide was going out of town, and she thought it was her responsibility to find a temporary aide for that 1 week, which is a whole other story in itself. But so my family, my abuser and her sister happened to be in town because they wanted to celebrate my birthday. And I got my stepmom got an email saying, "Do you want to celebrate Wynn's birthday together?" I said, "Yes, please." That was my decision, thinking, "Oh, beautiful 33rd birthday. Nothing will happen." And yeah, So my, believe it or not, my final 33rd birthday present was backing up against a wall and, yeah, getting emotionally abused. So then the interview of that temporary aide gets over with. She leaves, and my aunt says, come on, Lynn, it's time to go downstairs to get dressed to go out to dinner. We were going out to dinner with them after the interview, and after I got changed, we were all going out to dinner. So I was changing, my stepmom was changing, my stepsister had already changed, so she was hanging out in my living room / kitchen at the time. And come on, when it's time to go downstairs to get ready, I just was a good niece. I followed my aunt and my abuser, Mary Ann, downstairs. And that's when all hell broke loose. I knew that I was getting abused because the dum-dum, and I call it a dum-dum, not with love, didn't realize that she was abusing a mandatory reporter. And me, being a mandatory reporter, me having background in teaching, now for those of you that don't know, a mandatory reporter is a priest, a counselor, a social worker, depending on the case, a teacher of any kind, whether it's adults or children. I happen to be teaching kids. And so what a mandatory reporter is supposed to do is, let's say, if little Susie comes in with bruises all the body, and we know that she didn't fell on the pants, didn't say Susie fell the night before, she may have bruises, and then Susie acts weird in class. Yes, the typical preschooler would say, my mom or dad hit me or abused me. A mandatory reporter is supposed to call Child Protective Services. So, getting back to my story, my abuser did not realize she was abusing a mandatory reporter. And come on. And by the time I went downstairs, she closed my bedroom door. Not to have Mallory here, not to have Mallory here, my aide here, and my stepsister at my stepsister here. Now, those two, my stepmom and my stepsister, are no longer in my life. That's a whole another story for another day. And so, at the time, they were, no. And if my aide was careful and leaned her head up against the wall, she could have heard everything that was going on. And my aide, of course, didn't step in because she trusted those family members. I mean, these were my mom's sisters, and the one sister abused me. The other sister egged her on and just kept adding fuel to the fire. And so she started with the question of, after closing the door and possibly locking the door, which abusers do to keep their abusee in one place, she starts berating me with, how's your home life? Has the aide touched you? Has the aide done all this? And to quote my abuser, to quote Marianne, the final question, and I knew the answer, and if I was smart enough, I would have named one person. The final question was, who the hell do you think is taking care of you and supporting you for the last 33 years? I said my answer to that, because I knew that answer, was you guys are support. My mom's family was supporting Mallory and my dad, and they supported my mom through my schooling, giving her the money for one-on-one aid. Yes, I was mainstream. No, teachers didn't abuse me. But, and so I got, the next thing was stuck in a shower against my will. That was a good one. And then my abuser lays me back on the bed, says, spread your legs. In the meantime, my abuser says, I need a shaver now, and yells this up the stairs. So my stepsister says, in as calmly as she could, what? No, my abuser sends her sister to the bottom of my stairs and says, Juliet, we need a shaver now. And the way that it all went down, they scared Juliet half to death. And she goes, mom, 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 to her mom, we need a shaver. I don't know. We need a shaver. And my abuser grabs Juliet by the arm. Now this is a 23-year-old able-bodied woman, pulls her down the stairs and makes her go into the bathroom where I am naked in a shower. I'm sitting on my shower seat, and she makes my stepsister see the pubic hair on my vagina, which was lovely, not. And then the abuse continues. She lays me back on the bed and starts cutting my pubic hair and shaving my pubic hair. In the meantime, the aide has walked in, my stepmom has walked in, Juliet has walked in. My abuser says to all of them, shave Wynn like a dog. Shave her like a dog, mind you. And by the time I get dressed, somehow, by the grace of a higher power, I get dressed. And by the time I get dressed, I'm in tears, basically, because I knew what happened. I am making jokes, trying to make light of the situation, trying to break my abuser down enough so I could get up and get off the bed. And so go call the cops, basically. And so, but my abuser didn't listen. And so basically, after that, they had a meeting. My abuser had a meeting with the aide, and her sister had a meeting with my stepmom and says, don't you dare touch Wynn, don't you dare touch this house. If you touch the house, I'll come out and fix it. Okay, so my abuse happens. I have counseling that week. I don't know what tipped my counselor off to say, well, my counselor knew I was disabled. She knew that from the get-go. She knew I lost my father, but I don't know what tipped my counselor off to say, do you feel safe at home? And I said, yes, but this is what's going on. The next thing I know, I walk out of counseling. Myself and my aide walk out of counseling, we go home. So I didn't know any of this was going on. until that next week when I go back to counseling. And then I finished my counseling session. It was talk therapy, mind you. It wasn't art therapy. It wasn't EMDR. It was talk therapy. And so I finished my counseling session this week. Now, you got to remember, I'm a mandatory reporter. So the dum-dum, my abuser, put me in the spot of, okay, a mandatory reporter knows what to do. But do I call Adult Protective Services and say, help, I'm being abused and look like the girl that cried wolf? Because anyone could pick up the phone and call Adult Protective Services in all 50 states or do a welfare check in all 50 states, even if you're across state lines. And so I didn't want to look like the boy, the girl that cried wolf. And because 85% of the disabled get abused. So I didn't want to look like the girl that cried wolf. So I thought, okay, a mandatory reporter is going to meet with mandatory reporter. I'll just say what happened in my counseling session. Well, it tips the counselor off. And so that next week, I walk out of counseling. My aide is nowhere to be found. Now, granted, I thought she was in the bathroom. I thought she was in the car making a phone call. I thought she was in the car reading a book or listening to an audiobook. I did not know. I was going to walk down to the car and meet her downstairs. The next thing I know, a stranger to me says, are you looking for your aide? Because he sees me, I'm on a walker, and he goes, are you looking for your aide? And I said, yeah, kind of, but yes, I am. But I think I know where she is. I think I know where she is. I said, yes, just to get his answer. Because he looked at me like, oh boy, the answer I'm about to tell her is going to shock the living daylights out of her. And he goes, your aide is in Adult Protective Services. Crick goes my brain, and I'm like, crick. Which, crick goes my brain, yay, this is happening. So I walk back to my counselor's office and said, Stephanie, would you walk me over? My counselor's name was Stephanie. Stephanie, would you walk me over to Adult Protective Services? She didn't say anything. She just gradually walked me over to Adult Protective Services and said, have a nice day when this is Adult Protective Services, they want to meet with you next. And so by the time she walked me over, my aide was coming down that hallway, and I remember the look on my aide's face. She had a head to the ground, knowing that she just gave the first witness statement. And Adult Protective Services then pulls me in and says, since you're the abusee, we want you to go get professionally interviewed. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But one of the questions I asked of Joe, was, does Mallory know about this? Because I'm like, how the heck am I supposed to tell Mallory if she doesn't know? And Joe said, oh, yes, she knows. We called her on the cell phone. And because you are still your own guardian, you have the right to make the professional interview. No one had custody over me at the time, even though my family tried to take over custody of me. That was ignored.
There. I'm Regina King, the Evil Queen.
And I'm Lynn Roskamp, the Docent of Darkness, and we're the hosts of Disturbing Interests.
Do you get excited about mummies, decorate in skulls, obsess over the loss of the Library of Alexandria, even though it was lost in a different age?
Do you kill the conversation with your in-depth serial killer knowledge, facts about items made out of human skin, or have a strange longing to know the softer side of Mothman?
Have you spent an objectively disproportionate amount of time studying the life of H.H. Holmes?
Oh, I wouldn't know anybody like that. No, certainly not.
Well, I mean, we did call our podcast Disturbing Interests for a reason.
That's right. We've got them. And we are doing you the favor of keeping the questions like, at what temperature does it take to destroy a cadaver, out of your browsing history?
Well, we hope.
Because with us, you might be disturbed.
But you're not alone. You can find us on any podcasting platform under Disturbing Interest, or check us out online at disturbinginterest.com.
So I go down to a professional interviewer, and for those of you that don't know what a professional interviewer is, a professional interviewer has the person in the room. They are sitting across from the person, but on the other side is the cops. The cops are listening to the interview. So is Adult Protective Services or Child Protective Services, depending on if it's a child. And so the cops, the DA, were listening to the interview. And after that, I go and meet with the cops, and they got all the information they needed. And then they called my stepsister. They called Juliet by a phone and got her witness statement, which was the same. It was the same between myself, my aide, and Juliet. Now, the last witness statement they needed was Mallory's. And so the cops came to my house. One of them had a camera. One of them took a picture because I kept saying I needed to back up into a sink. And one of them went down to my room and took a picture for evidence of that sink I was talking about to back myself up into. And so that was fine. Mallory said, I don't want to do this witness statement. Why do I have to do this witness statement? And I said, and I think something, or my aide said something to the effect of, because you just witnessed emotional and physical abuse, but yet you don't want to do the witness statement. So the cops made me leave the room, and they made my aide leave the room because they wanted it. They didn't want my aide. They didn't want me to screw up her witness statement. And they told my aide when we left Adult Protective Services that day, don't tell Mallory your witness statement. And so, because we need a fresh witness statement from everyone. And so what does Mallory do? She asks we go home. My aide is cooking dinner in the kitchen. I'm sitting in the living room with Mallory, with my aide, and we're trying to have a nice time. And my aide says, I say something to the effect of, okay, let's do this, or I want to thank you guys for standing by me or whatever. And my family goes, because she knew Adult Protective Services called her, she asked my aide, what did you say? And my aide goes, I am not allowed to tell you. And so, okay, this case goes on. And while this case is going on, I get a call from someone very, very, very close to me, who is still my friend to this day, and as we're recording this, she calls me. She says, when I'm coming to Aspen, I want to see you. I made arrangements to go meet her, my friend, at a local coffee shop. And then when shit hit the fan, I knew that I was going to burst into tears and alarms. I mean, tell her whatever. So I said to her, 24 hours goes by. I called her and said, I need to cancel the date with you. I can't tell you what's going on, but I will tell you as soon as this case is over. And she goes, knowing me very, very well, she goes, okay, and didn't ask any questions. She knows me extremely well. And she didn't ask any questions. She says, I'll send you prayers. I'll keep you in prayers. She didn't know any of this was going on. And so as soon as this case comes to an end, I go to counseling. The Adult Protective Services steps out of the office and says to Juliet, I have an update for you on Wynn's case. Want to come back and talk to me? And so Juliet goes back to talk to him. I go to counseling. We meet up in the hallway. And I said to Juliet, what's the update? And she goes, I think we need to discuss this when we get home. So I said, fine. That's what we did. And turns out my abuser didn't think she did anything wrong. Her sister wanted to take child protective class, and I don't know if that happened still to this day. And by the time I called the friend who I was supposed to see when this whole case went down and said, look, this is why I couldn't see you. She goes, what? She goes, they did what? And I said, yeah, they did. And I am now putting a record towards my aunt. And I have seen my friend since. And at the last time I saw her was only last summer. And I had an aide with me. And that aide, newer aide to my life, said, well, is Wynn's abuse written down in the book? And my friend says, she did more than that, writing down in the book. And my friend didn't go into details, but she did more than that. And I picked it up and said, I put a record against this woman and my abuser. And if it ever happens to me again, I will put a record against anyone that touches me. But the straw that broke the camel's back is she not only showed my sister my pubic hair on my vagina, she took a picture of my vagina. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so she has a record. My family knows I'm down in Arizona. They haven't come out to see me. I haven't seen both sides of my family, point frankly, since 2019. And I am willing to forgive my abuser because she was going through traumas of all, losing her baby sister. But I am willing to forget. I'm not willing to forget. I'm willing to forgive. But the facts of the matter, she doesn't want anything to do with me. And after the abuse, my family still didn't like my care. They tried to stick me in a group home. I said no. They wanted complete control of me. Then they tried to get caught custody of me. I said no. The judge went on my side. And so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And yeah. So been abused, been physically abused once, emotionally abused twice, emotionally abused twice by the same abuser.
That's sexual abuse. I mean, that's, why was she taking pictures?
To why? To prove to the person who was helping my family, my mom's brother, that my care wasn't good.
I mean, I don't know if that's a proof that your care isn't good. I mean, to each their own.
To each their own, I know. I know. Yeah. But yeah.
Were there any charges?
Only a record. I wanted to put a restraining order against her. At the time, I couldn't. There were no charges. But now I think it's too late in the game to charge. But she does have a record. She does have a record.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, good for you for sticking up for yourself.
But
you need to do that.
But if it happens again, I will take it even further.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's not okay. You can't be touching people in places they don't want to be touched. Or shaving. Like, no.
No, we can't do that. No. And I, the last piece of it, advice I will give it, every time I tell that story, except for you, everyone has said it's the aid, because I require help due to my cerebral palsy. No, it could be anyone, a close family friend, the next door neighbor down the street. It could be the aid. Although these aids, now that I work with, and all my aides know not to do that. And all my aides, at that time anyway, they were background checked. Everyone that comes in contact with me, including my agency down in Arizona, is background checked. And so it could happen to anyone. The disabled population is more likely to get abused, because we can't fend for ourselves, although I can. I can just sit in there. And I almost had an aide touch me down in Arizona. I said, get the hell off me, and got her off my case. And so made her quit working with me. And so I am pretty well aware of what's going on.
Right. No, I mean, you definitely seem like you got your shit together,
yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. And no. And now I'm in a happier, more stable living environment and a happier place down in Phoenix, Arizona. So I know moving down here, the abuse was part of it, but it wasn't me getting abused, was part of my move. But it wasn't all of it.
Right.
So.
Well, I think more people need to take your lead. And if you're abused, especially as a disabled person, and you're not able to fight back, or you're not able to speak up for some reason, depending on what your disability is, that you definitely find a way to tell somebody.
Yeah. I mean, there's assistive communication devices that people have that's simply iPad, and you can type on them. Help. They, these aides can put in help. Help. I am. If the child is small enough, they can type help. I'm being abused. Oh, what a lot of people do is put cameras in their homes, because you never trust who's going to come in with your disabled child or your disabled loved one. Thank you very much. And now I have people watching me like a hawk now, and watching my aides like a hawk now. But as I said, it doesn't have to be the aide. It, a lot of people think it's the aides, but it doesn't have to be the aide. It could be Susie Q down the street.
It could be anybody. I mean, look at, it was a female to you. So not only was it same sex and family, it's crazy.
Highly unlikely that females abuse females, but it happens.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's, nobody is off limits when it comes to abuse, unfortunately.
No. And I also am watching my back surgery care like a hawk, because that, it's all, we'll get into all that maybe in a totally different episode. That is a whole different kettle of fish in itself, but you hear it all the time in these nursing homes and assisted living homes. People get abused, they also pass away, but that's a whole different story in itself. So what I'm saying, why I just said the statement, is watch people like a hawk when they're around a disabled loved one, an elderly loved one. Watch it. And if the abuse is happening and the home is saying, oh, abuse is not happening, this person is just acting weird and abuse is not happening, watch it like a hawk. There is, and I can't remember, the name escapes me right now. There is a number that you can call publicly, and assisted living centers, and I wish I could remember the name. Of course, anyone can call Adult Protective Services or Child Protective Services. It doesn't have to be a mandatory reporter. But yeah, just be there for people when they don't squish it under the rug. When they say, I got abused, don't ever say, oh yeah, right. Don't ever, just support people, especially if they're the elderly and disabled.
Absolutely. And you said since sharing your story, people have been contacting you to tell you that things have happened to them?
I have had one person contact me, and then I will always, 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 and I make this public, I will always be a witness to, well, I'm in Arizona, but I have listeners all over the place. I will always be a witness to abuse, and I will always try and guide you in the right direction, even though I have no background in it. I can always guide you to the right direction. I can always say, look at counselors in your own state. Or I also think on the podcast, they, which I I don't know, I haven't tried this. But I also think you've heard of the counseling site BetterHelp. BetterHelp, I know that they're licensed. Well, a counselor could get their license taken away if they don't tell people about abuse. So I'm not sure about BetterHelp. I should look that up before I... maybe you can stick something in the show notes about BetterHelp. I know they're licensed all over the country, but I'm pretty sure because you can call Adult Protective Services or Child Protective Services on the air. I'm pretty sure that these counselors, even on these websites, have to tell someone.
Oh yeah, nurses and doctors, you take an oath. You're a mandated reporter.
Nurses are mandatory reporters. Too, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That one got brought to my attention today. And I forgot about that. So nurses, doctors, priests, social workers, depending on the case, and obviously teachers, and just anyone, and when I say anyone can call Adult Protective Services or Child Protective Services.
If somebody did want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
The best way is a CEO with a disability at WeBelize.com, or just Google my name. My podcast is the same. If you type in a CEO with a disability, it will pop up all over the place. If you Google my name, Lynn Charles, it will pop up all over the place. My books can be found on Amazon. Yeah, so anyone can get a hold of me. And yeah, I'm open and willing to talk. I'm open and willing to meet people in person. I am open and willing to talk. I'm open and willing to share the resources I have to help the disabled. I'm open and willing to help be a light for people that don't have lights. I'm really lucky that I have lights in my own life that can help me. And I was really lucky. And the one thing I will tell you is I'm really lucky that I had four witnesses to my emotional abuse. The fourth one left before the emotional abuse happened. But I am really lucky. I still speak to one of my witnesses. Two of them are out of my life. But I still speak to one of my witnesses to this day. We text back and forth. But I'm really lucky to have three witnesses. Most people are not lucky. They get about, it's them versus the abuser. And most people are not lucky to have three witnesses. I'm lucky that by the grace of God, I had three witnesses, even though they were all in different parts of the house, which is okay. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, a support system is so important. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure I'll put things in my show notes for you.
So oh, yeah. You. And I don't know if I remember why I would email you and say the law, but there is, I have to remember this long now, it's going to drive me nuts, but there is public phones in nursing homes where you can report it to the states. All 50 states, all nursing homes must report to this law. And so if elder abuse happens, figure out, don't let the nursing home or assisted living abuse your loved one. Please, 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 please. Because the elderly and the disabled can't fight for themselves. And please, just don't let abuse happen, guys.
Absolutely. We need to kick that in the frickin' butt. Like, all of it. Just all of it.
I'm here to blink the stigma and talk about it loud and proud.
Well, good for you. I'm proud of you. It takes a lot of courage. So, absolutely. All right, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Not at this time. And if anyone wants to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me at a CEO with a disability at webelize.com. And Stephanie will put that in the show notes. And then we can do that all together, and we will make this world a better place and get the creepies who abuse out of our sights and out of our minds, and especially out of ours, because I'm here, one of the millions of disabled and one of the millions that got abused, but I'm here to break the stigma of abuse.
Absolutely. It's got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere, exactly.
All right, Wynn. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thanks.
I think we all know somebody who can benefit from this episode. Please make sure to share it with them. And thank you guys so much for listening to my podcast. This really means a lot to me. If one of my episodes has helped you in any way, I would really like to know. It's important for me to know that the work that I'm doing is actually helping people. If you want more of me, make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel and follow me on Instagram and TikTok. If you or anyone you know is in need of national hotlines, please go to truecrimeconnections.com. I have all the phone numbers there listed for anything that you could possibly imagine. All right, my renowned roots community, keep building hope and gaining strength. Until next time.